You've tuned in to Power Walk, and we're glad that you've joined us. Reverend Paul Cannings is the founder and president of Power Walk Ministries and senior pastor of Living Word Fellowship Church in Houston. We're on message 5 of a 10-part series titled Faith in Adversity. Today, Reverend Cannings takes us through a very real-life situation which Nehemiah faced. And like us, he too could have been overcome and paralyzed by fear when he saw the opposition he faced. But he chose to put his faith in God's ability to give him success in his endeavors. Right now, here's Reverend Cannings with today's message titled, Does Fear Dominate Your Life? Let's listen.
Does your fear replace your faith? There's many things that we could be afraid of. The challenge that God may place before us to share the gospel. And we don't want the person to get us fired as a school teacher. We may have a passion to do a Bible study, but afraid that people may ask questions we don't know, or we may not teach at the level that other people have, and so we feel inadequate. It's just a fear of getting to know people at church, because if you get to know them and they get to know you, then your business is everywhere, and all these different things that we calculate in our minds that we are fearful of. We are fearful sometimes when it comes to serving in the church, because we're not too sure we're adequate to serve at a certain level. All these fears dominate our lives, and sometimes they have a way of erasing faith. What I admire about Nehemiah, it did not do that. For him to ask for this nation to be able to finish the rebuilding of the wall, then it's almost like he is encouraging the rebellion against the king that he serves, who definitely trusts him. So this could create so much fear when the king could say, take him outside and cut his head off, and it's done. It's not no long preliminary. He's dead. That same day he could be dead. So when Nehemiah comes to this, and the king is recognizing that he's sad, and he literally must know Nehemiah very well, and most likely he did, because he's a cupbearer, which means he's administering the key aspect of his kingdom, which is making sure he eats well, if proper food is ordered from the proper people, and people that are cooking the food and everything else are not putting any poison in it. And so he didn't just taste the wine before he gives it to the king. He watches over a lot of these things. So he's not just a wine taster. He addresses many things in the king's kingdom. So for this king has gotten to know him pretty well. And so he looks at in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Nehemiah, there's nothing but sadness in your heart. And then you say, I see sadness on your face. I see sadness in your heart. So the king knows Nehemiah. And look at what it says right there. Then I was very much afraid. The kind of fear that takes your knees out from under you. It's a terror fear. There's different kinds of fears in the Bible, but this one is not a reverent fear. This is a terror fear, and it's a fear that Nehemiah is sensing that is going to overwhelm him, and it's never going to stop. In other words, he doesn't seem to have the emotional control to bring this fear back in check. Nehemiah is trying to control a fear that he's saying will continue on. But Nehemiah doesn't stop there. This is what helps fear to get back in check. If you wait for it to get back in check emotionally, it doesn't. It runs you over. It would totally incapacitate you. This fear could continue on because we're letting the emotions keep directing the process. And that's why when his emotions are directing the process, it's in an imperfect tense here. It means it's going to go on endlessly. And what he is saying is, I had to do something to manage that fear, and the best way to manage the fear when I'm doing something is to obey God and not just hear a word, not just know the word, but to act on the word. In verse 3, he says, I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my fathers, he made it very personal. The king obviously knows him, so he's making common ground connection. Wise, what is he doing? He's not just acting out what God has put on his heart to do. He's not just acting out what he has the faith that God would do, because God has a covenant with his people. He said that in chapter 1, God is a faithful God. He's steadfast in carrying out his commands and his laws relevant to his love for his people. He's Lord. He's committed to his covenant. And he's God. He's supreme over everything. He said all of those things. So, yes, he's acting because his view of God, as he said in chapter 1, is very high. So So yes, he's acting on those things and he's committed to those things. But when he is acting on those things, watch how he is functioning. He's functioning also with wisdom. So Nehemiah is functioning with wisdom, acting on the word of God, and that reduces his fear. Many times, folks, you can't stop being afraid. Sometimes we try to stop being afraid. Not going to happen. What is God asking for me to do at this time? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray up, because Nehemiah was prayed up. 4 months fasting and praying. He's called to God and prayed right before he goes into the king's presence. And he is there now in the king's presence. And so he uses a common ground in his sense of wisdom. My father's tombs. I can't leave my father's tomb desolate, not cared for. That's my family heritage. I can't just ignore it. And it's bothering me that it's like that. He makes a common connection, so he's applying wisdom to a man he knows him. Oh, folks, well, there's something else that Nehemiah does to kill fear that is powerful in this passage of Scripture. He says in verse 4, "Then the king said to me, 'What would you request?'" Now it's heavier, because if I request for this city wall to be rebuilt that this man stopped because he believed we are rebellious people, because he believed what Sambalat and Tobiah says about it, I could be dead right now. But since I'm placed in this position, I will go back to where I started, prayer. Nehemiah prays. I find that to be so powerful, that in the midst of the conversation, he pauses to pray. So I prayed to the God of heaven. I prayed for the supreme being who watches over everything. And I'm not going to wait thinking that, okay, I need to see the king feeling sad. I need to see the king really seeming to be compassionate. I need to see the king having a sense of a plan that he's going to come up with. No. I believe God heard me. I believe he heard me. So when we are faced with fear, yes, we must act. Yes, we must use wisdom, because that's the insightful application of God's word to the real life situation we're dealing with. So we try and apply God's word to the situation. And then we must pray. Pray without ceasing. And when we pray, we must believe. We must believe that God heard us and that he is going to do what he's going to do. Doesn't matter what we believe it will cost us. It's better to experience God's powerful reward for our faith than to trust in what we see and the circumstances that we may have in front of us. We must move forward. God says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "I will reward those who put their faith in me. I will grant them a reward." So I don't know what you're facing with today. Fear of the surgery you're about to face. Fear of not being able to manage your bills. Fear of your child dealing with a critical situation in their life. Don't know what you face with today. Oh, folks, whatever that fear is, take these steps. Let God fight for you. Just put yourself in a position where God is the one fighting for you. You're not fighting for yourself. Fighting for yourself wears you out. It's impossible to fight for yourself, because the Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers. So what you're facing is not people. It's Satan working against you. Can't fight something you cannot see. So you have to be able to function with someone who can see. And the person who can see is the light of the world. There's nothing greater than him. He is supreme being. He is God. Trust him. And sometimes when you trust God, it seems to get worse, but it's getting better. Nehemiah now has to come up with a plan. And when he's coming up with this plan, it's going to become obvious that he's talking about Jerusalem. We'll pick this up tomorrow. How we overcome fear. How we are able to function at a level of faith that we keep talking about these great men of God and women in the Bible who had these great acts of faith. They were afraid. A person who has courage is not a person who doesn't have fear. It's actually unhealthy not to have fears in your life. A person of courage is a person who, despite their fear, choose to pick up their gun as a soldier and still attack what their orders tell them to do. That person is still afraid. That's why many soldiers miss and have to keep practicing under serious duress to shoot their guns in practice. Why? Because they are battling fear. Oh, folks, be a soldier in the army of God and battle fear. by going through these steps of saying, God, I will do what you tell me to do. I will trust you and act in wisdom. And I wouldn't use my common sense. I wouldn't use my experience in this situation. No, I'll just use what you say and try to apply it to that situation, because your word does not return void. And I'm not going to quit praying, because I believe, Lord, you're the only one that can fight my battles. You're the only one that can provide victory. And therefore, Lord, that's the reason why on Sunday morning I can give you praise. Because the only reason I know that I survived and got here, it's because of you. I have made it through surgeries because of you. See, that's what makes worship so sweet, is when we walk by faith and not by sight. Stay focused.
What fear are you afraid to address today? Whatever the fear is, let God fight for you. And why do we hang on to our fears and try to control the situations? Will you let go today and place your situation completely in God's loving, faithful, and steadfast hands? To help you remember these principles that Dr. Canning's talked about today, give us a call to secure your copy of today's message or the entire series. Our number is 281-260-7402. That's area 281-260-7402. Or visit us online at powerwalkministries.org. And if you're visiting in the Houston area over the weekend or live in Houston and you don't have a church home, you would be so welcome at Living Word Fellowship Church. The church is located at 7350 T.C. Jester Boulevard in Houston, Texas. And right now, here's a brief word to you from Reverend Cannings.
As I stand in front of us today, I'm excited that we came back from Africa with a great team that is from New Jersey, from Houston, from Grand Bahama, from Haiti. And we have been serving now for a while now in Muzanzi, Rwanda. And it was an awesome time. They brought their leaders, their wives. We had a great time sharing and growing together. And we touched pastors from around the world. And we are excited because they came from different countries. We are excited also that the university is being built. All of these things is what Power Walk is about. And when we go to Africa, we touch four or five nations at one time. Power Walk wants to do what the scriptures encourage us to do, and that is to go make a difference in the world. And I pray that you would support us as we go about doing God's work for God's glory, for God's honor. And I pray that your support will allow us to reach our budget of $300,000. Help us to finish this year in the black. We need your support. And I pray that if God so moves you to do greater than that, we would love to go further in touching lives for the glory of God. When you touch Power Walk, you're touching families, you're touching communities, you're touching the world. It's not just a television ministry. It is an impact to touch the world and to make a difference for God's glory as He commanded us to. We look forward to your gift. Thank you.
Think about and pray about becoming a Power Walk partner today. That will help us fulfill our vision in sharing the gospel and equipping and encouraging believers. You'll find that at powerwalkministries.org or call 281-260-7402. You can also write us at P.O. Box 920-517, Houston, Texas, 77092. As we leave you, remember, you can seek God's wisdom in His Word and walk through life with your Father, who is also the God of the universe.